and they looked the same, so she just decided to taste them. Sometimes you see that, you know, you get a nice looking, you know, fruit, and it looks really good when you taste and you think, oh my God, what happened? And then you get the same thing again, but this one is completely different. It's sweet and tasty. So outside looks a lot of times are deceptive. So she doesn't know what to do. So she's thinking, I can't give the Lord what he comes, the bitter fruits. So I should taste them and see which ones are sweet and put them aside for the Lord, and for the bitter ones I won't give. So she's biting the fruits. Now she's tasting the fruits before she gives it to the Lord. So you know that's an offense. It's also quite unclean. But her consciousness is that she has love for the Lord. She has reached a very high state of bhakti already. And so she doesn't want to disappoint the Lord by giving him something that is not tasty. So she's eating it and putting it aside. And then, of course, when Ram came, she immediately gave him the fruits that were sweet that she had already tasted. And he was happy to accept them. He didn't say, oh, why did you taste it? Did you do the offering? Don't you know the rules? You know, you must not be a member of ISKCON, because if you knew the rules, you would be following them. And so the Lord didn't say that. He was happy, and he was eating one fruit after another like that. So, and then you had the example of, there's another example, where when Duryodhana wanted to somehow or other find ways to get Krishna on his side in the battle of Kurukshetra, he wanted to get Krishna's favor. So he was very diplomatic. The demons are people who are, what we say, they have another motive besides what they present to the public. In other words, they're always interested in getting something for themselves. And it's usually something sinful, something underhanded. So Duryodhana decided, I'm going to attract Krishna by creating this beautiful, grand celebration in his honor. So he hired various types of, you know, musicians and people who are eulogizers, and, you know, dancers, and the best cooks in the kingdom, beautiful feast, invites Krishna. Krishna knows everything, of course, and he knows what Duryodhana's motive, so he doesn't go. He just doesn't show up. But he then decides to go to the house of Vidura to see Vidura. So he knocks on the door, and Vidura's wife is there, and Vidura's not there. And she gets a little excited. Oh my God, Krishna's here. And she's thinking, I got to give him something to eat. So she runs into the kitchen, can't find anything but bananas. And she takes the bananas, and she wants to give them to Krishna, but she's so excited, she gets a little disoriented in her emotional, you know, outbreak, that she starts to peel the bananas to give Krishna the banana, but she gives him the peel instead and throws the banana away. And Krishna's eating the peel one after another. Because it was done with pure love and bhakti and just the desire to please the Lord. So these are exceptions to the rules, of course. One cannot break the rules and think that it's okay. The rules are there to help to keep us connected with the spiritual path and at the same time get us off the material consciousness. But sometimes there are like that. One time when Srila Prabhupada was in, I believe it was Calcutta, someplace in India, but I think it was Calcutta, he had taken some of his new disciples to meet, this person had invited Prabhupada and his disciples for an evening prasadam. So the man had a big family, and he cooked nicely, and everybody, and it was a beautiful feast. And so they were serving. But then the devotees noticed that the pakoras were made out of onion. was onion pakoras. And the devotees immediately, in a very, you know, secretive way, got the message to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, these are onion. Prabhupada said, never mind. In other words, we don't want to he didn't want to, this was somehow Prabhupada could see that if we refused or act like that, the man would be kind of hurt or disappointed. He wasn't really a devotee in that sense. So Prabhupada went ahead and allowed his devotees to do that. There's another story, of course, where one devotee was preaching in Russia, and he said to Prabhupada, there's nothing to eat here except meat. How am I going to preach? I can't find anything to eat except meat. Prabhupada said, eat meat, but preach. So we don't follow that these exceptions as the rule, but they are the rule. They are exceptions. So in emergency situations, sometimes the devotees find themselves acting outside of the norm in order to make the situation, what we say, devotional, acceptable, and avoid problems by following the exact rules and regulations. Like sometimes there is called niyamagraha, and then there's niyamagraha. It's one of the faults in bhakti where a person follows rules and regulations just for the sake of following, not knowing why they're following. When you ask them why they follow, and they say, well, because it's in the book, or my guru told me. They don't know why. So that is a fault. To not know why you're doing what you're doing. You should know what is the purpose of the activity and what will the results actually bring in terms of, you know, the devotional act. And then there's another one where people simply reject rules and regulations and don't care and just do whatever they want, acting whimsically, acting without regard. So that is a fault also. So devotees should be aware of that, to know what to do and what to avoid. Because Sanatana Goswami very carefully mentions the six principles that make up bhakti, or the essence of surrender. Actually, it's not so much bhakti, but the principle that is surrender. So what is those six principles that are surrender? Two are activities, and others are states of consciousness or qualities that devotees develop. One is anukulena, which means to accept things favorable for devotional service, and to reject things, which is called pratikulena, which is to reject things unfavorable. So sometimes we don't know what's favorable or what's unfavorable. I was just hearing a lecture from Tamal Krishna Goswami yesterday, and he brought up that point. And basically what he said, ask. One word answer. Find out. If you're not sure, ask. And you think, well, I'll figure it out. Well, you might find yourself disfiguring it out. It doesn't come out right for some reason. Or you just speculate it. So when we're not sure whether it's favorable or unfavorable, ask. Like we mentioned things that are apparently unfavorable, but they were favorable due to circumstance. And there's things that are unfavorable we should definitely avoid. So one has to know. And then the other four principles are, one should understand clearly and have this conviction that Krishna is my only protector. Krishna is my only provider. Krishna is my only maintainer. In other words, we don't set up any kind of programs in the material world for these things. We just simply depend on Krishna. Rake Krishna More Ke, More Krishna Rake Ke. If Krishna protects, then what is there in need to make all kinds of arrangements? Or if Krishna doesn't protect, then that's his will. But he always protects his devotee. Kuntiya pratijanihi nami bhakti pranashati. He says that. My devotee will never be. And he shows that when he told in the before the battle of Kurukshetra, I'm not going to fight. You can have my armies, Duryodhan, and Arjuna, you can have me, but I'll be there. I'll be just there, and I'm not going to fight. Arjuna said, "What's the use if you're not going to fight? But at least become my charioteer." And Krishna said, "All right, I'll do that, Mahārāja." But then, when Arjuna got in danger by being smashed with the arrows, his whole chariot was knocked off. Krishna fell off the chariot. Arjuna was in danger when Bhishma Dev decided to finish Arjuna off. Krishna grabbed the broken chariot wheel and just ran at Bhishma Dev. His eyes were red like fire. And he ran so fast he dropped his charger and didn't even care. He just kept going. So he broke his promise, but to save his devotee. So Krishna is the best friend of everyone, and he particularly takes care of his devotees. So we have nothing to worry about. All we have to do is engage in devotional service. And whatever you need will be provided, and if you didn't need it, don't worry. That means you didn't need it. Or if you didn't get it, you didn't need it. So devotees have that faith, complete dependent and faith on Krishna. And Krishna likes that. Then Krishna becomes inclined to that devotee more and more. Because when we make so many big arrangements, just like so many people make so many arrangements in this world to get what they want or to keep what they want. Just like, what is the biggest arrangement that the human society does? It's defense. They make so many big arrangements. They spend billions of dollars on armaments because they think that these things are going to save them when danger comes. And securities, locks, you know, guards, jails, so many things. All of this is all about security, prevention of... So some of it you might be saying it might be necessary, but most of it is just... It's just some kind of paranoia. Because people think, and this is gives them this false sense of security. But even the best situation cannot prevent what will happen by the will of Providence. And Providence is actually Krishna's energy. So, and the last thing, that we mentioned five, and the last thing is dainya. Dainya means humble. Devotee is by nature humble. And that means in relationship to the three previous ones, one has to develop that quality of humility. Otherwise, one cannot completely depend on Krishna nor understand Krishna is, you know, is there in all situations for the devotee. He doesn't forget. Or he doesn't neglect. But sometimes people see it that way only because he wants something to happen for a higher reason, and it looks like he neglects his devotee or he neglects to act in a circumstance that was dangerous. Just like sometimes you see a great personality who has given their life for devotional service. Somehow or other, death takes its toll. And it seems like it's an untimely death. But one who is fully surrendered knows that it, actually within their heart, it's Krishna's arrangement. So Krishna uses various external means to fulfill his desires to benefit and uplift his devotees and sometimes bring them back home, back to Godhead. It's like we have the example of Tamal Krishna Goswami. I was in Mayapur at the time. It was during the GBC meetings. Were you there at that time? 2002, March 15th. The Ides of March, we say. 2002 was right after the GBC meetings. And Bibi Govinda Maharaj was leading Mangal Arati that morning. And then right after the Mangal Arati, there was an announcement that Tamal Krishna Goswami has had a very severe car accident, because he had left really early that morning to go to, obviously, to take a flight back to the UK, where he was going to school. He was going to college at that time. And he didn't make it. The driver somehow fell asleep. He crashed into a tree. And Maharaj left his body. Now you might say, well, what happened to Krishna? Wasn't he there to, you know, give him a different driver beforehand? Or wasn't he there to keep the driver awake? Or wasn't he there to save the Maharaj despite the accident? People will say like that. People will conjecture like that. But if you trace back some of the things that happened before his disappearance, you'll see that he had this feeling that soon he would be leaving. He said to one of his disciples the day before, he said, "Take my last bath in the Ganga for me." He said that to one of his disciples. Why he said that, his disciple couldn't figure out. What do you mean, take my your last bath in the Ganga? Doesn't mean you'll be taking any more baths in the Ganga. But that was an indication that Krishna was preparing him, at least internally, for, you know. So a devotee has a sense that if it's time up, then it's simply arrangement of the Supreme Personality. So sometimes they do. Just like when, in the case of Kadambakanana Maharaj, I was talking to Jayadvaita Swami in July of last year. We were at a Kirtan Mela in the UK. So we had just heard that Maharaj now had gotten some very severe case of cancer. So I was discussing, well, is he going to, you know, get some treatment, go here, go there. Jayadvaita Maharaj said, he doesn't want to waste time with that. He simply, you know, he's done something in the past, and now he can see, he's just going to fix his mind on devotional service and let the Lord take it from there. And you can see all through that whole situation, those who knew the whole, there was in Vrindavan, he was completely fearless because he put himself in the hands of the Lord. And so when devotees should have that consciousness that whatever happens is by the grace, as long as I stay in devotional service. If I go outside of devotional service, then I create a situation where things that may happen is not necessarily the will of the Lord, but the Lord will act in such a way as to maybe punish that devotee or bring them back to devotional service. And that looks like some kind of punishment, but it actually is just a way to get them to realize that what you're doing is outside of devotional service. So once you begin devotional service, you're bound to go back to Godhead. There's no question about that. The question is, what lifetime do you want to do it? You can do it in this life. Of course, it's very difficult to do it in one life, but who knows how many of us have had devotional service in previous lives. So this may have been our second or third life in devotional service. So everyone should think, I want to go back to Godhead. I want to develop my loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I don't want to waste time in this material world making big arrangements to be happy here. I was also, Tamal Krishna Goswami was mentioning in his lecture here yesterday, something that we all know, but it was interesting. He says, in the material world, three things can happen to you. You can desire to have something, and then you could try to get it, and it doesn't come. So you're unhappy because you don't get it. You can desire to get something, and it comes, but it doesn't give you the happiness you expected from it, or the satisfaction, or whatever. Or the third one is, you desire to get something, You get it, seems to be okay, but after some time you lose it. So everything falls in these three categories. You get it, and you don't get it, you get it, it doesn't fulfill it, or you get it, and ultimately you lose it. So why try for things that are temporary, or things that can't really satisfy the individual? Try for, that's why it says that one should fix their mind simply on pure devotional service. We want to go back home, back to God. We don't want to waste time in this material world. Maya Ravase, Gacho Base, Gacho Habu Bubuvai. That in life after life, Ji Karanam Gunasanga So Sarasa Joni Janvasu. We've been wasting time going, traveling throughout the different universes and different species of life. Who knows how many births we've been in this material world. Fortunately, we're not only fortunate to have a human form, but we're very fortunate to come in connection with pure devotional service. That is extremely rare. To get a chance for pure devotional service takes millions of lifetimes to get this opportunity. Don't throw it away. And still look towards the material world for some satisfaction or for some gratification. Do whatever you have to do materially in order to maintain your body. And if you have a family, extensions of the body. But otherwise, use all of your time for Krishna conscious. And that way you'll be satisfied and you'll also be happy in that process. And then you'll know that when time comes, you're destined either to go back home, back to Godhead, or to associate with Krishna somewhere in the material universe is where he's having his pastimes, even today. So this is the beauty of devotion. It's a great gift. It's very powerful. It's very rare, as Nectar Devotion explains in the first chapter. Devotional service is all auspicious. Devotional service is rare. Devotional service is the it gives happiness beyond material happiness and even the happiness of liberation. So if we take seriously to Krishna consciousness and try to use your time as much as possible for devotional service. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, try to connect it to Krishna. And if you're working, if you're living in the temple, then you're in a good position to become fully engaged 24 hours a day. Okay, so I'll stop there. Any comments or questions? Rishabh.
Hare Krishna, Gurudev. Thank you very much. I was just reflecting on this last point about three kind of things can happen with our material things and desires. So I was thinking, if we found something that we consider can help us much in the study or any aspect of our devotional service, how can we approach it so that it's not our material desire, but it's actually something that we see if it's really beneficial for our spiritual life or not?
If it's in relationship to your service, just like one time someone asked Srila Prabhupada a practical question, something that wasn't philosophical or spiritual, about how to do something. It was, you know, how to accomplish, I can't remember what it was, something about agriculture or something like that. And Prabhupada said, go ask a person who knows. So we're not, you know, like fanatics. If you need something practical done, you know, just like when we built the palace in New Vrindavan, yeah, we took help from outside people to give us advice on how to go about the construction, along with reading certain books that was helpful. So we didn't just say, well, it's Krishna's palace, we'll build it for him, therefore he's going to help us, we don't know anything, but it'll happen. It's not like that. No, so we're practical also. Yeah. If you want to learn a language, you have to associate with people who are speaking that language, or maybe also read and study books about that language. So, you know, there's practical things that are required in order to, you know, carry on a certain activities that is required in our devotional service. But the danger is getting outside of that, just doing a bunch of that, which has nothing to do with your service or with your spiritual growth. You have to be careful of that. That's why it says there's one of the offenses, it's one of the 64 angas of bhakti, is not to read too many books. That's one of the restrictions, reading too many books.
So that mentor or spiritual master will confirm, is this something in the...
That's the best way. Ask the spiritual master or someone who is comparable to be in that position to give you the knowledge you need. Yeah. Well, the tendency of the conditioned soul is to think, I can figure it out. And that's just it's just a sign of the false ego. When you need help, ask for it. That's what our society is for, to support each other in these situations. Question?
From internet. Sometimes I read that an advanced devotee does not see the bad in others, only good. How to see... How to see then advanced devotee that totally rejected materialistic people and do not want to associate with them in any way?
Can you repeat that again? I'm sorry, we got distracted a little here.
Okay. The question is, sometimes I read that...
He reads.
This is Bhakta Yoga Tilburg. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful lecture. Question. Sometimes I read that an advanced devotee does not see the bad in others, only good. How to see then advanced devotees that totally reject materialistic people and do not want to associate with them in any way?
Well... We don't reject them as candidates for Krishna consciousness, but we don't take their association either. So that's for everyone, not just so-called advanced devotees. What is that? Sanatana Goswami said to Lord Chaitanya, what is the first activity of a devotee? Asa sanga teyaga e Vaishnava achar, he said. Asat sanga. Asat, that means materialistic sanga, asat. Tyanga means to reject. Reject? Huh? Tyaga, yeah. Asa sanga teyaga e Vaishnava achar. So rejecting, yeah. Materialistic associate and take association with sat or devotees. So that's the first principle. So reject. We preach to the non-devotees to bring them up, to give them a chance to make progress towards the goal of life. So we don't simply avoid them completely. That, oh, I can't preach to them because they're non-devotees. I can't talk to them. No. But we're not taking their association when we go on preaching. They're accepting our association. So you become the association, and not let them associate with you. In other words, if you go on their mindset, then you're associating with them. If you bring them to Krishna consciousness, they're associating with you. And then you can bring them up. Otherwise, they'll bring you down. So the word reject doesn't mean, it does, shouldn't indicate that we simply avoid 100%. But in our connection with the non-devotees, we see what we can do to bring them forward. Maybe give them some prasadam or, you know, a book, something. Yes. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the lecture. I wanted to ask you already this question, but I didn't have the chance. But now you were again speaking about this topic, about seeking protection from Krishna or being confident in Krishna's protection. In my mind, these instructions from how to take shelter from nectar of instruction somehow clashes. The last one, humility, clashes with that confidence that Krishna will protect you. Because after all, if you are humble, you see that...
You just simply depend on Krishna. Yeah.
No,
you
but you don't
ask for anything, right?
Not only that, but you see that the world is better without you. I mean, that's... anyway, you are half sinful, whatever. And so now I'm going to demand in some sort, like for example, of course we cannot imitate Srivas Prabhu, but that was on completely different level. That was some friendship, some amusing pastime. But I cannot clap hands. so it's not example of that. But
Bhakti Vinod Thakur says a little prayasa is okay. Make a little endeavor in order to facilitate your activities in devotional service, but it shouldn't become the main thing. Just like he uses the example, if you have to distribute books, then you have to get books. So he says, and get books, because otherwise how can you distribute them? A little endeavor in that way. But then when you talk about protection, we got Lord Chaitanya has given it the example. When he was going through the Jarikanda forest, he was simply Krishna, 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 hey. And he went on, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Raksha Mam. Raksha means to protect. So he was singing the glories of the Lord. At the same time, he was asking the Lord, please protect me. So he was just giving. So he was just giving that example. But there are devotees who simply don't want to ask the Lord for anything. But even if you ask the Lord for protection, it's not outside of the principles of proper behavior or etiquette. But there's the others that don't want to at all. They just say, just depend on Krishna in all circumstances. But then that could also, if you're not on that level, if you don't have that faith, then you'll be in anxiety. There's a little story where one man, he's losing the village, it starts to rain, and it's raining, it's like really torrential rains, so his house is getting flooded, and he's thinking, oh my, what am I going to do? It's flooding here. So he starts going up higher on the house. And then somebody comes along with a boat and says, get in the boat, we'll take you out of here. He says, no, I simply depend on God for everything. And so he lifts the, and so on, the rain keeps coming, and then it goes, and it's pretty much up to the roof. And he's standing on the roof of the house now. And then they come with a helicopter. And he said, "And get out, get in, you know, we'll save you." And, "No, no, I simply depend on God." And then the rain keeps going, and then he drowns and dies. So then somehow he made it back to heaven. And he says to God, "You know, God, why didn't you save me?" He said, "Well, I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter." You have to see how Krishna is actually doing things. He does it through his energies like that. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.